D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Trevor Matich, who is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, how are you feeling about your Cougars entering the NCAA basketball tournament this week?
I'm feeling good, actually, Adam, with A.J. DeBonsa and the high-end elite talent that they've got with him, and then really good talent around him. Now, their top point guard and three-point shooter was hurt several weeks ago, so they're missing a key component there. But, you know, they've got the base team to be able to remain competitive and play scrappy defense with a couple of guys led by DeBonsa who are high-end lottery pick type guys, and I think they've got a good chance to hang with most of the teams that they'll face.
DeBonsa is one hell of a player. So let's talk about the Tennessee Titans. At the moment, Trevor, it appears that Austin Schlotman will be the team's starting center. He doesn't have a lot of starting experience. He's played 85 games in the NFL, but he has started 18 over 7 seasons in the NFL. From what you know of Schlotman, do you think he is a capable starting center over a full NFL season?
I think, Adam, that he is an enormous upgrade over what they would have had with Lloyd Cushenberry now not on the team. You know, he really would have been the answer long-term as one of the best young centers in the league when they brought him in as a free agent out of Denver. But the injury bug bit, and that wasn't to be. So I think Schlotman is... he brings to the table, I think, what they need right now with Cam Ward as a young quarterback and with the new offensive scheme of Brian Daboll, because he comes from the Giants. He knows Daboll's system from a standpoint of line calls and protection calls and recognition and things that you really want a veteran center to be able to contribute, especially when you have a young quarterback. Now, he's different in body style than Jeff Saturday of the Colts, who was the great center for Peyton Manning all those years. But from a standpoint of experience in the league and understanding of the offense, he brings that kind of knowledge. Now, is he an elite athlete? Does he have elite strength? Not necessarily. I don't know that they expect him to be a long-term starter, but I think that for now, he elevates that position tremendously, mentally and physically, based on what they would have had they not brought him in. So, you know, I have high hopes that he will perform at a steady level physically and an elite level mentally.
Trevor, the Titans' defensive line has undergone a significant transformation over the past few weeks. Tavondre Sweat traded to New York for Jermaine Johnson. The Titans also made a trade for Solomon Thomas, who once upon a time was the third overall pick in the 2017 NFL draft. They bring in John Franklin Myers. As a whole, how improved do you think the Titans pass rush is right now?
I think it's tremendously improved, mostly because of the scheme fit that these guys are for what Robert Saleh and this scheme expects of them. And I think that what they've done on the defensive line is a microcosm of the overall strategy, the plan for free agency and how the free agency leads into the draft for them. I mean, they were in desperate need of upgrading the defensive line beyond Jeffrey Simmons, and especially the pass rush, and especially on the edge. But the reason these guys were great for this scheme is because they are explosive off the ball. And if you take a look at Solomon Thomas, for example, you know, they traded for him from the Cowboys. They just basically swapped seventh-round picks. The Cowboys were not going to keep Solomon Thomas. He didn't have any sacks last year. But does that mean that he's a bust? Not necessarily, because he'll be asked to do something completely different than he was asked to do last year in Dallas. Dallas basically had him play inside most of the time and be a run stuffer and eat up blockers so the linebackers could run around and make plays. That's why he didn't have any sacks. But that wastes Solomon Thomas's great physical advantage, which is he's really fast off the ball and he's got heavy, accurate hands to knock down the initial strike of an offensive lineman. And the defense of Robert Saleh requires that of defensive linemen. He doesn't want them just to eat up blocks around the line of scrimmage and let the linebackers make the plays. He wants the defensive line to be violent upfield, to penetrate gaps and let the linebackers clean up any messes if they get out of their gap a little bit while they're penetrating. It kind of inverts what Dallas was doing and what Solomon Thomas was asked to do there. And so when you've got his greatest capability now being maximized in the Robert Saleh scheme, you have the same thing with Jermaine Johnson, the edge rusher that they traded Trevondre Sweat to the Jets for. He's the same kind of guy because he has a really quick burst off the ball. Femi Oladejian, who they drafted as a linebacker out of UCLA, and they're going to put his hand in the dirt now. He has a really quick burst and a really high motor. So there's bringing in guys to stack in rotation on the defensive line to fit this violent, penetrating defensive line scheme. Now what they'll need is to make sure they've got the linebackers behind them to clean up, because when you penetrate defensive linemen like that, a lot of times they'll kind of get washed out of their gap, and it's up to the linebacker behind them to fill in and make sure those gaps don't turn into holes. And Cedric Gray seems to be a good match for that, but that's one of the reasons I think that either Arvell Reese or Sonny Styles, the linebackers out of Ohio State, would be possible draft picks at number four, because they're kind of Fred Warner types that can make that transition from linebackers making all the plays to linebackers cleaning up messes that are caused when the defensive line tries to make messes in the backfield. So I love what they've done here with the defensive line. Now, are they elite? No, but it is an enormous upgrade of maximizing the capabilities of guys that now they have some depth at getting upfield. And in doing that, what they do, and they've done this in other positions too, you've seen it at corner, you've seen it at wide receiver, what they've done is kind of free up needs and to allow them to pick a game breaker on offense with the fourth pick or a game wrecker on defense with the fourth pick, because they've kind of solidified the foundation of the team underneath them in free agency.
Speaking of defensive linemen, Trevor, we're talking with Trevor Maddich, ESPN analyst for both college football and the NFL. Now, at the beginning of this whole process, Trevor, Reuben Bain was the name that was on everybody's lips as far as what he did during the season, especially that run that Miami had to the national championship game. But it seems like now that things have died down after the combine, that he's starting to fall, it seems, a little bit. Now, if he manages to fall outside of the top 10, which position do you think that benefits?
I think right now, when you look at the players that are available, are you talking about for the Titans at number four?
Yeah, for the Titans at number four, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think this is where we talk about having at number four, picking either a game breaker on offense or a game wrecker on defense. I think Reuben Bain was a game wrecker at the University of Miami, but you guys have really done a great job of describing how players that were great pass rushers in college but had the kind of short arms that Reuben Bain has don't tend to translate very well to the NFL. Some probably do, and Bain might, but overall, the odds are not good. And so, you know, so is he going to be a game wrecker in the NFL? I don't know. He might be. But the guys that we've kind of talked about in that position at number four now, when you're looking at, Reese and Styles, the linebackers, and then Jeremiah Love at running back, you know, those guys are, I think it opens up the Titans to be able to take the most impactful player at number four, regardless of position or need. And again, this goes back to free agency and some trades that they made to kind of solidify the foundation of the team. You know, I don't think they brought in game wreckers and game breakers on defense and on offense in free agency, but they have solidified the foundation. And so, you know, Derek, you were the first one I heard talking about with a lot of confidence and a lot of passion the running back out of Notre Dame, Jeremiah Love, as a potential pick for the Titans at number four. And forgive me if the other guys have brought that up too early, but I know that when you started talking about that, I started thinking about it, and I think he might be the most impactful individual player in this entire draft. And so, you know, taking care of the pass rush to a degree, the corners to a degree, bringing in Wandale Robinson at receiver, taking care of that to a degree, would allow them to take a guy like Love. And the thing about Love is you've got to think about him as like a Saquon Barkley type. You don't want to hand him the ball 22 times and have him run between the tackles. You're just getting beat up. He'll run between the tackles well, but this Brian Daboll running scheme features a lot of outside zone, which means his vision and his speed and burst can get away from the D-line and burst through those holes, and now he's dealing with outside linebackers, safeties, and corners out there on the edge. You can hand him the ball a lot there and not worry about him getting too beat up, and then you can move him all across the formation as a receiver because he's an outstanding receiver as well, and his 40 time was in the 4.3s. At the combo. So this is what we mean when we talk about game breakers, a guy that an offensive coordinator can move all over the field to get the best possible matchup for Cam Ward, to give Ward the best advantage, not just to be able to complete a pass or hand it off into a good situation from the defensive front perspective, but also a guy who can make a lot of plays on his own, because the last few years here at the Titans fans have not been accustomed to seeing a lot of guys on offense that could take the ball and then do something with it that is not really there, to run over a guy, to run around a guy, to run past a guy. Derrick Henry was the guy that could do that, but when he went off to the Ravens, that was it. And so Jeremiah Love is the kind of player that will complement this offense in every way imaginable. And I tell you, if they took him at number four, they will have fulfilled that concept of getting an absolute game breaker, regardless of need of position.
Do we have the Willie? There Titans, we go. There we go, Willie.
The Titans saved some money by releasing L'Jarius Sneed. They also saved some money reshuffling Calvin Ridley's contract. So they still have some money in the budget here. But the big wave of free agency is gone so far. What would you be looking for, and how much do you think a team can improve on the margins between now and the start of the season with some, you know, some funds that maybe some other teams don't have?
Yeah, Willie, that's a great point, because, you know, when you talk about the margins, that's really one of the key places that you win. You get the Super Bowls and win them, is at the margins. I mean, look at the Patriots under Tom Brady. We look at Brady and his greatness. They had a couple of usually great receivers for him. They had some all pros on defense. But ultimately, those Patriots beat you, not necessarily with their big stars, although the big stars were important. They beat you with the middle and the bottom of the roster. With their depth pieces, when starters got hurt, they could come in and perform at a high level, but especially those core special teamers. The hidden yardage in special teams is at the bottom of the roster, in the middle of the roster. And that's why it was so important they've got Julius Chestnut back. Because Chestnut is a running back, but he's a core special teamer on this team. And so the guys they want to bring in now, I think that they're most likely to get, aren't necessarily high-end starters, although there may be some of that available. But then if they can scout correctly and bring in more core special teamers, more key backups that can perform at a high level, then it elevates them in ways that are not obvious on the stat sheet. And so, you know, what I'd be looking for if I'm as a Titans fan, for them would be, am I bringing in guys that are aging veterans at the end of their career to try to squeeze another great year or two out of them? Or am I bringing in guys that can win on the margins the way the Patriots did, with the bottom 10 guys on the roster are better than your bottom 10 on the roster, but those are key special teams.
Trevor Maddich has been our guest on D-Mace. Vin Ginnendonick, he joins us every Tuesday and is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, as always, great stuff. Good luck to your Cougars in the NCAA tournament, and we'll catch up next week.
Thanks, Ed.
615-737-1025. Let us react to what Trevor had to say. He did bring up a player that I believe that the Tennessee Titans under no circumstances can draft at number 4 overall. And we will discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.